distinguished when your hair turns gray, when you zip up your wranglers and your belly's in the way. You're the oldest swinger in town. When you blow, wave your hair, why so weak? Can the kids at the disco offer you a seat when they don't understand a word you speak? And they'll look at you like some in the morning for the fags you smoke, when you'd have another dance but you're scared of a stroke. You're the oldest swinger in town. When you're down to the last of your Slim Jim ties and you've got suitcases instead of bags under your eyes, when the president of the Bill Haley dies, you're the oldest swinger in town. When sex has become a monthly chore, a plain old beauty, if not a bore, when you wonder how you ever managed on the floor, and sometimes you even forget what it's for.
Music here on Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY, 93.5 FM in Nelson and 96.5 FM out and around the Kootenai Lake area and all over the world on the internet at www.kootenaicoopradio.com. My name is Eva DeFour, and I've got, I'm going to be in the studio here for an hour. It takes up to 11 o'clock a.m., at which time Johnny O's Golden Oldie Rock and Roll Show will take over. So, welcome to the show, and I'm really happy once again to, have my good friend Bob the Postman Stubbs in the studio with me. Every year, at least once a year, Bob and I get together and do this, and, he brings in very, very incredible, wonderful music, and, I would like to say good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Eva. Well, let's see. The last time I was here was back in September, I guess, when I was playing music for my big cross-country odyssey. I was playing my Newfoundland and Acadian CDs that I bought in that big trip. But the music we're listening today comes from a cassette dub of Vera Johnson's LP called That's What I Believe. Now, Eva, you yourself gave me this tape a few years ago. Lately, I dusted it off and decided I had to learn more about this singer-songwriter from Vancouver. She almost became famous. Now, I don't have the actual album, so I can't be 100% sure, but I think Vera wrote all the songs we'll hear from her today, except the one we just opened with, The Oldest Swinger in Town. Now, Vera Johnson was born in England in 1920, but she grew up in Regina, Saskatchewan. By 1948, she was living in Vancouver, married, three kids, eager to change the world. That was when she caught the folk bug, thanks to a show on CBC Radio. She bought a cheap guitar, and pretty soon she had her own show on CKMO. Throughout her life, Vera paid the rent with secretarial jobs. She was a real expert at that. 1951, she moved to Toronto to work for the Ontario Federation of Labour. She wrote a couple of radio plays. She bought herself a Martin. Most important, she began a lifelong friendship with the song collector Edith Folk. She moved back to Vancouver, then on to Naramata. In 1958, her pal Tony Only convinced her to take a writing course at the Institute in San Miguel de Allende. One of the stories she wrote there sold for a cool $1,000, worth maybe $15,000 in today's money. So Vera left her husband and moved to Mexico to be a writer.
What is the queerest critter of all? Man is the queerest I recall. Never sees the handwriting on the wall till his back is up against it. What is the queerest critter of all? Man is the queerest I recall. Never sees the handwriting on the wall till his back is up against it. Harpoon Harry roams the seas, slaughtering the whales. Wonders why there are so few in the oceans where he sails. What is the queerest critter of all? Man is the queerest I recall. Never sees a handwriting on the wall till his back is up against it. Sailor Sammy looks for fish, brings his cast to shore. Takes the most that he's allowed, grumbles cause he can't get more. What is the queerest critter of all? Man is the queerest I recall. Never sees a handwriting on the wall till his back is up against it. Logger Louie fells the trees, sends them to the mill. Cannot understand why floods wash out each denuded hill. What is the queerest critter of all? Man is the queerest I recall. Never sees a handwriting on the wall till his back is up against it. Mow the miner strips the hill, claws out earth and clay, rips the ground to get the coal. He says that's the price you pay. What is the queerest critter of all? Man is the queerest I recall. Never sees a handwriting on the wall till his back is up against it.
Well, freelancing in Mexico didn't quite pan out for Vera. After a few nasty months, she hightailed it for Vancouver. Pretty soon, she was back in the steno pool. But also, as usual, writing, singing, socially activating. She introduced Edith Folk to her new friend, Phil Thomas, who was establishing himself as BC's preeminent song collector. Vera married again. She divorced again. And this is where her story really takes off. In 1966, at the age of 46, Vera took her guitar and boarded a ship bound for England, where she made the rounds of the folk clubs, often hitchhiking all day just to get to a gig. One folk club manager remembers, "She described herself then as the singing grandmother, but she had more energy than most of us. When she stayed over, it was usually a late night."
Sky was gray at Gatwick when I stepped on board the plane. I'm coming home. Then we skimmed the clouds to Glasgow, and we landed in the rain. I'm coming home. We'll be stopping next in Iceland, then New York and Montreal. I'm coming home. Then I'll take off for Regina. That's the final port of call. I'm coming home. It was winter when I left there, and the sunlight sprinkled diamonds on the snow. But my heart was rhymed with hoarfrost, till I turned my back on all I used to know. But I'm coming back in summer, when the streets and fields are drowsing in the sun. And I feel a warmth inside me, reaching out to hug and welcome everyone. Well, the sky was gray at Gatwick when I stepped on board the plane. I'm coming home. Then we skimmed the clouds to Glasgow, and we landed in the rain. I'm coming home. We'll be stopping next in Iceland, then New York and Montreal. I'm coming home. Then I'll take off for Regina. That's the final port of call. I'm coming home. They have paved the road I lived on, and have turned the wooden sidewalks to cement. There are homes and lawns and gardens in the lots where once wild roses spread their scent. The buses now are gliding where the streetcars used to lurch and creak and sway. And my friends have all grown older, but their faces light with smiles the same old way. Well, the sky was gray at Gatwick when I stepped on board the plane. I'm coming home. Then we skimmed the clouds to Glasgow, and we landed in the rain. I'm coming home. We'll be stopping next in Iceland, then New York and Montreal. I'm coming home. Then I'll take off for Regina. That's the final port of call. I'm coming home. There is magic on the prairie when a pink and lemon sunrise stains the sky, or a meadowlark spills liquid notes, a curlew answers with his lonesome cry. There is magic in remembrance of the people and the places that we knew, when the days were ripe with promise and our dreams as fresh as early morning dew. Well, the sky was gray at Gatwick when I stepped on board the plane. I'm coming home. Then we skimmed the clouds to Glasgow, and we landed in the rain. I'm coming home. We'll be stopping next in Iceland, then New York and Montreal. I'm coming home. Then I'll take off for Regina. That's the final port of call. I'm coming home.
By 1968, Vera had evolved into a classic 60s protest singer. When the cops started hassling the hippies at the courthouse fountain, she wrote a song about it. The hippies held a protest loiter in. Vera writes, I went along and sat on the steps beside a woman with a baby, and soon people had moved in all around us. I mounted the steps and stood behind a pillar where the guard couldn't see me, and taking out my guitar, sang The Fountain. I repeated it. This time, the crowd joined in the chorus. A reporter asked some questions and wrote down the lyrics. The result was a big spread opening with the words of the headline, opening with the words of the chorus, and headlined 200 Voice Protest at Fountain Rally.
Vancouver has a fountain in the center of the town, with places where you walk about and grass where you sit down. But if you think of going there, a fountain for to view, change your mind, try something else is my advice to you. Go and climb a mountain or take a boat for a sail, but don't go look at the fountain or you might wind up in jail. Everybody, go and climb a mountain or take a boat for a sail, but don't go look at the fountain or you might wind up in jail. The man who built the fountain had a nice idea in mind, that folks would come from near and far a meeting place to find. But don't attempt to use it as a meeting place this spring. They've put up a great big sign that says no loitering. Go and climb a mountain or take a boat for a sail, but don't go look at the fountain or you might wind up in jail. Policemen keep an eye upon the people passing by, so walk along quite briskly and to loiter do not try. They've got a bunch of warrants and the names are all left blank. All they do is write them in, then throw you in the tank. Go and climb a mountain or take a boat for a sail, but don't go look at the fountain or you might wind up in jail. Now every town in Europe has a central city square with benches for the visitors who like to gather there. Vancouver has a center and is too unique for words. It's reserved for flowers and for butterflies and birds. Go and climb a mountain or take a boat for a sail, but don't go look at the fountain or you might wind up in jail.
In the same year she wrote The Fountain, Vera tangled with the American music industry. We made our way to Columbia Records for an interview with John Hammond. I was trying very hard to stay calm, not quite succeeding. This was the man who had discovered Bob Dylan. This was the man who had signed up Donovan and Melvina Reynolds. But Hammond turned out to be quite human and friendly. He had listened to the tapes. He was delighted to meet me. He said he would have a contract drawn up. I asked if, by any chance, they could record in England, maybe at my booking in Oxford. Yes, he said. But, eventually, the project was buried. It took me a while to recover from that, and months to escape from my agency contract and recover my songs. Eventually, Joe Stead produced my first record on his Sweet Folk All label, recorded at the Black Horse Folk Club in Amberley, Sussex. My second LP was produced by Mitch Podolik of the Winnipeg and Vancouver Folk Festivals. This, too, was recorded live at the Green Cove Coffee House in Vancouver, with Kathy Fink and Duck Donald backing me. Mitch lost interest after a while, and eventually I paid to have 1,000 copies pressed and issued under my own label, Zach's Music Publishing. So, here we are, the Green Cove, one evening, about 30 years ago. The tape is rolling. Here's Vera at the microphone.
I have a couple of grandsons and about a dozen great nieces and nephews who have Indian blood. But their parents had all moved away from the reservations, and all of these kids, when they were small, knew about Indians was what they saw on television. It wasn't very accurate information. So I wrote this song to sort of straighten them out. Some of them are here tonight, and I'm glad to say that they did get straightened out. Didn't you, Timothy? A free man and a hunter of the deer and buffalo. You got your food and clothes and shelter with your spear and with your bow. your son, the pride of manhood, showed him all he had to know. And now your great, great, great grandson plays cowboys and Indians all through the day. And he says to his friends, if I can't be a cowboy, I don't want to play. Same time it seems kind of sad. Your grandson fought a losing battle. He was proud and he was brave. The white man stole his homeland from him, turned a free man to a slave. TB and smallpox and raw whiskey were the gifts the white man gave. And now your great, great, great grandson's daughter heard of Jesus and forgot the tribal ways. For all his goodness and his mercy, this new God she learned to praise. And then the reservation trapped her like a rat caught in a maze. And now your great, great, great grandson plays cowboys and can't be a cowboy, I don't want to play. For the cowboys are good guys and Indians bad guys, and I never want to be bad. And I smile as I listen to his ultimatum. At the same time it seems kind of sad. Your great-great-grandson left his people for the life there got him down. He studied hard to be a welder, and he found a job in town. He wed a blonde girl and had children, and forgot that he was brown. And now your great-great-great-grandson plays cowboys and Indians all through the day. And he says to his friends, if I can't be a cowboy, I don't want to play. I never want to be bad. And I smile as I listen to his ultimatum. At the same time it seems kind of sad.
Vera writes, for some years after 1969, I made two visits to Britain each year for 3 months each time. And after I discovered the science fiction groups and their conventions, I timed these trips so that I could attend EasterCon and NovaCon. As well, I arranged a complete tour of North America each year, making sure it would enable me to attend the World Science Fiction Convention. My science fiction story, The Day They Cut Off the Power, was published in New Writings in Science Fiction number 21. This was definitely a message story. I discovered filk songs, which are the sci-fi version of folk songs, and wrote one myself, based on a story by Roger Zelazny. He heard me performing it and sent me an order for 12 copies.
You may think I am old and dreary, a faded Florence Nightingale. My face is lined, my breath is beery, still you should listen to my tale. Now it's 2074. No one will look twice at me. But all the spacemen were knocking at my door back in 2033. I was Big Bright Barbie, the bouncing baby.
come to see me feeling low and depressed. When they left, their smiles would tell me I was the best. Big Bright Barbie, the bouncing baby, the sweetheart of Sordido 5. I still remember dear Puria. He was an old man, I his nurse. After they cured his diarrhea, he gave me diamonds, he was the first. He told me I had a talent to sell, one worth a mint, so he said. I gave up nursing, for the new job paid me well, and I stayed at home in bed. I was Big Bright Barbie, the bouncing baby, the sweetheart of Sordido. To see me feeling low and depressed. When they left, their smiles would tell me I was the best. Big Bright Barbie, the bouncing baby, the sweetheart of Sordido 5. I must say I was never thrifty. I made a fortune, spent it all. Soon I found I was fat and 50. My wealthy lovers didn't call. Then a young minister visited me. He got me down on my knees. You can put your own interpretation on that. Though I now lead a life as saintly as can be, I still have my memory. I was Big Bright Barbie, the bouncing baby, the sweetheart of Sordido 5. The bouncing baby, I knew how to make a man feel glad to be alive. They would come to see me feeling low and depressed. When they left, their smiles would tell me I was the best. Big Bright Barbie, the bouncing baby, the sweetheart of Sordido 5.
You are tuned in to Folks Music on Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY 93.5 FM in Nelson, 96.5 up and around the Kootenai Bay area, or Kootenai Lake area, I should say, and all over the world on the internet, www.kootenaicooperadio.com. My name is Eva, and as what's been going on for the last number of years, I've got my good friend Bob the Postman Stubbs in the studio with me, and this we are featuring today Vera Johnson.
Mama said you gotta cook and sew, 'cause you're a woman,
'cause you're a woman.
Scrub the floors and eat the biscuit dough, 'cause you're a woman,
'cause you're a woman.
Making beds is what you have to know, 'cause you're a woman. Teacher said it's office work for you, 'cause you're a woman,
'cause you're a woman.
Without a mind or soul, I was a woman.
I was a
from Adam's rib, 'cause I'm a woman.
'Cause I'm a woman.
That I was built to rock a baby's crib, 'cause I'm a woman.
'Cause I'm a woman.
Guess I'll go and fight for women's lib, 'cause I'm a
That song was about women's liberation. You can tell Vera's in favor of it. This next song is about atheism. Now, Vera's opposed to that, even though, as a rule, Unitarians are pretty much happy to let you see God through whatever distorting lenses she might have made you with. Well, back in the 60s, Time magazine did a cover story on a group of theology professors who called themselves the God is Dead movement. Folks didn't know quite what that meant, but they figured, well, gee, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. It kind of makes sense. Maybe God is pushing up daisies. But only Vera realized what was really going on.
God was pumping up a universe. It wasn't perfect, but he'd seen some worse. He'd worked out every detail on a plan. He made the planets whirling round the sun and smiled with pleasure when the job was done, then settled back to watch the growth of man. But things went wrong, his smile soon failed, he frowned and shook his head and listened to his masterpiece announcing God is dead. God's not dead. He hasn't got the gall to show his face. God's not dead. He's just embarrassed. He doesn't want it known he's in disgrace. He thought he'd done a good job of creation, but now he sees this isn't quite the case. God's not dead. He's somewhere brooding on how he goofed when he made the human race. God intended that a man should be the finest creature that on earth you see, a credit to his maker night and day. Courageous, sensitive, as well as kind, a noble spirit and a balanced mind, a paragon in every single way. Now what went wrong and when and why, not even God can guess. But anyone with half an eye can see that man's a mess. Now everybody sing, God's not dead. He's just in hiding. He hasn't got the gall to show his face. In vain, he cannot figure out just what went wrong. He watches over his experiment, his eyes are weary and his head is bent. He hopes the final stage won't take too long. The bombs will fall, the missiles fly, and bring an end to men. Then God can draw another plan, and he can try again. God's not dead, he's just in hiding, he hasn't got the gall to show his face. God's not dead, he's just embarrassed, he doesn't want it known he's in disgrace. He thought he'd done a good job. just about 100 years ago. On an April day he died. In the Birmingham Canal he drowned, and they called it suicide. You're in your grave, Thomas Arkenstall. Can't raise your voice, can't complain at all. But we know who to blame for your grief and shame, and we'll fight them in your name, Thomas Arkenstall. Thomas Arkenstall was 33, made umbrellas as his trade, but the jobs were few and far between, and the work was poorly paid. You're in your grave, Thomas Arkenstall. Can't raise your voice, can't complain at all. But we know who to blame for your grief and shame, and we'll fight them in your name, Thomas Arkenstall. Sold the furniture to pay for food, sold the table, chairs and bed, in the corner where they slept at night. Shavings on the floor were spread. You're in your grave, Thomas Arkenstall. Can't raise your voice, can't complain at all. But we know who to blame for your grief and shame, and we'll fight them in your name, Thomas Arkenstall. Wife and children famishing, shared their bitterness and pain. He would mutter as he walked the streets, like a man who's gone insane. You're in your grave, Thomas Arkenstall. His head said, God help you. You're in your grave, Thomas Arkenstall. Can't raise your voice, can't complain at all. But we know who to blame for your grief and shame, and we'll fight them in your name, Thomas Arkenstall. Giving them the MBE, I think, is a disgrace, as Mrs. Ballantyne. If I was their mother, I shouldn't put them in their place, as Mrs. Ballantyne. They just want attention, and that's why they have long hair. My son has a brush cut, he's what they would call a square. He's my boy, my pride and joy. He never steps out of line, acts like a true son of mine. Says Mrs. Ballantyne, a three-line chorus, nothing could be easier, try it. He never steps out of line, acts like a true son of mine. Says Mrs. Ballantyne, smoking marijuana, they should send them all to jail, says Mrs. Ballantyne. If I was the judge, I wouldn't even give them bail, says Mrs. Ballantyne. My son was arrested once, but that was not the same. He just punched a Pakistani at a football game. He's my boy, my pride and joy. He never steps out of line, acts like a true son of mine. Said Mrs. Ballantyne. What a crazy wedding, did you see it on the news, says Mrs. Ballantyne. Wearing shorts and neither one had proper shoes, says Mrs. Ballantyne. My son isn't perfect, but at least he isn't weird. He got married in a church and doesn't have a beard. He's my boy, my pride and joy. He never steps out of line, acts like a true son of mine, says Mrs. Ballantyne. Disgusting, them just lying there in bed, says Mrs. Ballantyne. Looking at the pictures in the papers, I see red, says Mrs. Ballantyne. My son went to Blackpool for a proper honeymoon, smashing shows each night and bingo every afternoon. He's my boy, my pride and joy. He never steps out of line, like a true son of mine, says Mrs. Ballantyne. Now they're giving acorns, saying plant a seed for peace, says Mrs. Ballantyne. What can they accomplish with such talk, the silly geese, says Mrs. Ballantyne. My son says we have to be prepared for all alarms, lots of bombs and missiles, lots of soldiers, lots of arms. He's my boy, my pride and joy. He never steps out of line, acts like a true son of mine, says Mrs. Ballantyne.
Thank you, Vera. Dr. Lotta Hitchmanova was a left-wing journalist from Czechoslovakia who spent the Second World War as a refugee in Vichy, France. When the war ended, she came to Canada and devoted the rest of her life to a never-ending series of lecture tours. On one such tour, around 1955, says Vera, she came to Penticton to speak for the Unitarian Service Committee and pleaded with us to make pullovers for Korean children from wool they supplied. I was so moved by her words that I told her to send us 20 pounds of wool. It was so coarse that nobody would work with it except me. There I was, knitting, eternally knitting. I tried to solve the problem by buying a knitting machine. Alas, it also refused to work with the wool. Well, years later, in 1968, Vera was in Ottawa for a gig at the club called Le Hibou. I ran into Lotta Hitchmanova, executive director of the Unitarian Service Committee, who wanted me to write a song for their fundraising campaign. On the second last day, I wrote Nagama. And next morning, I went to Lotta's office and sang it for her. She cried, I cried, she phoned CBC. They didn't cry, but made an appointment for me to record it.
Dr. Lotta's children are spread through many lands, reaching out with hungry eyes and empty searching hands. little bloated bellies, each finger like a claw. And one among the millions is the girl called Nagamaw. Nagamaw is thirsty, the sun keeps beating down. She has to keep on moving, her bare feet cross the ground. Mud and stones for mortar in the basket on her head. She has carried it for years now. She will carry it till she's dead. Nagamaw has never been taught to read or write. She spent her school years working on this construction site. There's no need of schooling for her to earn her pay for laboring 8 hours. She makes 30 cents a day. Nagamaw is helping her family to survive. They need her daily earnings to keep them all alive. Girls are not like babies, they must work, so she's been told. So Nagamaw keeps working, after all she is 8 years old. Dr. Lotta's children are spread through many lands, reaching out with hungry eyes and empty searching hands. Little bloated bellies, each finger like a claw, and one among the millions is the girl called Nagamaw.
Oh, this is so nice to listen to this music. It certainly has memory instigation for me. It brings up a lot of stuff that was going on for me in the 70s. And so I want to thank Bob for bringing Vera into the studio today. Make sure that you tune in next week on Folks Music, 10 a.m., Monday, April the 16th. I'm going to be doing a special on the Delmar Brothers, and I know that you, Bob, are a big fan of the Delmar Brothers.
Close harmony, brother singing.
Yep, and they fit in with my show really, really well. And they're not bluegrass, they're not blues, they're not old time, they are just the Delmar Brothers, and their music is heard all over the world by various people, but nobody does it like they did it, and it was awesome. So once again, I would like to thank Bob for coming in today, and it's really great that at least we have a holiday once in a while on Monday so you can do this with me. Any plans in the future for doing your own show?
We'll have to see what comes up. I'd like to thank you, Eva, for having me in today.
My pleasure.
I've got a little bit more to say about Vera, and then we're going to hear the last song on the album. That should take us up to the top of the clock. If it doesn't, we've got a few of Vera's colleagues lined up to take us to out in the hour. Phil Thomas, Alan Mills, and Young Tradition will be coming on. Don't forget to stay tuned for Johnny O's Golden Oldies. You've been listening to Folks Music on Co-op Radio, CJLY. Now, 1984, Vera retired from the secretary biz, which had always subsidized her performing career. Not a lot of money in folk music. On her last trip to Europe, she left Vancouver with $100, returned after 3 months with $167. Call it $22.33 a month net income. From 1984 to 1994, she helped run the housing co-op where she lived. At the age of 75, she drew in her horns a little, resigning from the co-op board, but still serving on several committees. As of 1994, Vera had 3 children, 6 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren. Today, she lives in an old folks' home in Chemainus, where she still plays the piano for the other residents. She'll be 87 in June. Good on you, Vera, and thanks. Next time I'm in Vancouver, this old hippie is going to toss a coin in the courthouse fountain. Wish we had a few more like you.
Some People say you mustn't take a drink, or you'll damn your soul to hell. Other people say you have to go to church, and maybe Sunday school as well. Some folks claim a man is born to sin, and a woman's bound to grieve. Well, maybe they're right, and I'm all wet, but here's what I believe. Made a cell mutate and started off the human race. There's just one thing that I know for sure, though to you it may seem odd, that we're all part of something great, and that's what I call God. Just a state of mind, it's a sickness of the soul. Heaven's how you feel when things are going right and you think you're gonna make your goal. Good is anything that nurtures life and makes it thrive and bloom. And evil's whatever cripples life and threatens it with doom. I believe in living, enjoy it while you can. Giving your brother a helping hand. Work and laugh and love and play. We haven't got too long to stay, so make the most of every day. That's what I believe. Each man ought to do the best he can, be himself, not what he is not. Even if you think you're rather weak on brain, just make the most of what you've got. Just remember that you're not alone, you're a part of all mankind. And man can achieve tremendous things when he makes up his mind. I believe in living, enjoy it while you can. In